Would you please pray with me these words from Psalm 19? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my salvation. Amen. Ask and it will be given to you. Really? What about when I prayed and prayed for the healing of my friend? I met him when he was coaching our youngest son's baseball team, and our family soon became close friends. Over the years, we had seen our children grow and grandchildren come along. He was the husband of one of my closest friends. And when we got the news that the cancer had spread, we were all devastated. And I prayed. And I prayed. But he died. These past weeks, the news has been full of stories of violence, protests, terrorism, racial division, and politics. At the same time, we are also seeing communities coming together in prayer, an outpouring of love and support for our police as well as the Black community. Facebook is filled with posts calling for prayer and an end to hatred. And we continue to pray. Luke doesn't tell us where Jesus and his disciples were, only that Jesus had finished praying when one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus taught them this prayer, and then a lesson on the need to be persistent in prayer and the faithfulness of God. Did you notice when the gospel was read that Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer is shorter and somewhat simpler? Jesus urges the disciples to use the same name he uses when he prays, Father, Abba, inviting them into a closer, personal relationship with God, calling upon God like a child calls upon a trusted parent, secure in the relationship, knowing his or her parent will listen to what is asked for and provide what is needed. Jesus reinforces the relationship in the last verses of the text when he asks if any of them would give their child a snake when the child asks for a fish. He says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to him who asks?" Jesus is not promising that we will be given everything we ask for. It is the Holy Spirit that we will be given when we ask. Jesus says to pray for God's name to be holy, hallowed, recognizing God as the source of holiness. Meta Stamper says, "The Greek word translated hallowed is elsewhere translated sanctified, something we most often think of as happening to us. God makes us holy, as we see in verse 13, with the gift of the Spirit. And in that gift, we find in ourselves the beginning of the answer to this petition. The beauty of holiness at work in our lives in a way that makes God feel at home. When we pray for the coming of God's kingdom and our daily bread, and we ask God to forgive our sins, recognizing that we ourselves must forgive everyone if we are going to ask for God's forgiveness. For how can we, in good conscience, say to God, 'Forgive us our sins,' if we are unwilling to do the same? And then we ask God not to bring us to the time of trial, not to be confronted with temptation." Jesus uses the parable of the friend who doesn't want to get out of bed to help his neighbor to illustrate that God can be trusted to respond to our prayers. Hospitality was extremely important in the biblical world. When a guest arrived, hospitality had to be extended, no matter what the time of day or night, or whether the guest was expected or unexpected. He says to the disciples, "Suppose one of you had a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." The Greek word Luke uses, that is translated as persistence in the NRSV, actually means shamelessness, which implies a boldness that comes from familiarity. The breadless host only asks the friend once, boldly, shamelessly, counting on the friend to conform to the obligations of hospitality and communal expectations. The friend would incur dishonor if he did not get up and help his neighbor. If we can count on our friends and others to do what is right, even when their motives are mixed and their self-interest is, how much more are we able to count on God, who only wants to give us what is good and life-giving? Jesus tells us to bring our prayers to God with confidence, assured that God will listen. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you." God will give us the supreme gift, the Holy Spirit. Throughout Luke's gospel, we see that prayer was an important part of Jesus' life. The first account was when Jesus was praying after John had baptized him, and then the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Again, when he was preaching to the crowds and they had gathered around him, he withdrew to a deserted place to pray. Luke, more than any of the other evangelists, stresses the importance of prayer in Jesus' life, according to David Luce. The purpose of prayer is relationship, and we are influenced, even changed by our relationships. As we seek God out in prayer, talking and listening, praying over scripture, we begin to know this God who wants a relationship with us, and we are changed. I think that's God's plan, to change us into people who share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone. God gives us the gift that only God can give, the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 3, there's a list of the gifts of the Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Through prayer, our trust in God is strengthened, and we are changed. Jesus teaches us to pray that God's name is holy, sanctified, for the kingdom of God to come and for our basic needs, for food, sustenance, and for our spiritual needs. About 5 years ago, I took a class at Trinity Lutheran College, which changed my life. I had long been an advocate of prayer, but as I studied there, I realized that I felt that God was calling me to something more. At the time, I didn't know where that would be. This fall, I will be starting distance learning at Luther Seminary, working on a Master of Divinity. I appreciate the support of you, my congregation, that you have supported me in my candidacy, and I would ask for your prayers as I continue along this path. I think that Mother Teresa said it well about prayer. She said, "I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or that, but now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things." Amen.